If you know the Lord and wake away, why don't you just put your hands together one good time? Make God happy, make the devil nervous. Let the Lord know how good he's been in your life. Every time you put your hands together, you're claiming victory over everything that the devil has brought against you, because God has been just that good. God has been so good, so good. The songs say, I just can't tell it all. I don't know how y'all have church here at Pilgrim Branch, but I want you to know that I came to have some church today. There's nothing like being in a church where it's just a little warm. That's when you know that the Lord's about to do something absolutely amazing. I certainly want to first off give honor to the Lord for this opportunity. I am thankful, and I don't take it lightly anytime I have the opportunity to stand and mount the sacred desk and proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to give honor to the shepherd of this house, Pastor Pickens. Let's give him a hand. Certainly we can do much better than that. Let's celebrate the angel of this house. Yes. I must be honest, when my phone rang and I looked at my phone and saw it was Jermaine Stewart, I didn't know what he wanted. And when he told me he was putting together Family and Friends Day, I couldn't say yes fast enough. Pastor Pickens, you know this. There are some people you just don't really enjoy pastoring. But you can't say nothing because they might be in the room. But then there are some people that you enjoy pastoring. It's a joy. It's never difficult. It's always easy. And that was my experience with Jermaine Stewart. And my prayer is that that's your experience also, Pastor Pickens. That is an absolute amazing man of God. And I have seen him go hard for the church, go hard for the Lord, and for his family. Can we just celebrate him in organizing this program on today? I won't be before you long, but it is preaching time. Turn with me, if you will, to the gospel according to John 17th chapter. And we're only going to go into one verse in chapter 17. We're going to do our best to unpack this singular pericope on this afternoon. So although it might be a familiar passage, John 17 and 11, we pray that God allows us to see him, hear him, and experience him in this preaching time. John 17 and 11 reads as follows. I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. The word of the Lord for the people of the Lord. You may be seated. My prayer is to share with you for about the next 2.5 hours. I told y'all I'm at home. See, them great big old churches, you can't preach for 2 hours. You got to give them a good solid 15 minutes. But y'all have church around here, right? All right. So for the next 2.5 hours, I'd like to share with you under the topic, the forgotten prayer. The forgotten prayer. It is my understanding that the theme of this gathering of the saints for this afternoon is that of unity. If we are to have an occasion that we label family and friends, I believe that it is fitting for us to use unity as the title or the theme or the idea that we should press forward into this event. Because what is a family if it's not united? What is a church if it is not united? A house divided amongst itself shall utterly fall. We understand that in this particular passage, we see Jesus praying a prayer. Jesus is praying a prayer, and we must understand that as Christians, prayer should be the cornerstone of our faith. Prayer should be the way that we start our day. However, many of us start our day by seeing what social media is communicating to us. Prayer should be the cornerstone of our faith. In fact, Jesus gave us instructions within Scripture that man should always pray. Yet we minimize our prayer life to thanking the Lord for the food that we're about to receive, blessing it for the nourishment of our bodies, bless the hands that prepared it, in Jesus' name, amen. And the interesting thing is we don't even mean it. Y'all ain't caring about nobody's hands being blessed, and you ain't trying to get that food to nourish you. You just want to go through the motions because that's what you've been taught to do. We have minimized our prayer life down to now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep, and if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. We haven't admitted anything to God, been honest to God about anything in that prayer. Yet it is a poem that we remember from childhood. However, if we are to be Christians, then prayer should be much more important in our life besides praying over our food and communicating something that we've heard since childhood. Prayer is supposed to be personal. Prayer should be more important to you than anything else. But I find it quite interesting, Pastor Pickens, maybe it's not here at the branch. But there are churches where you call a prayer service and only a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of the membership wants to participate. Yet I find it quite interesting that when people find themselves going through life, they're the first ones to pick up the phone, ring the church house and say, can I get some prayer? Right. However, God wants us to establish a prayer life that is more constant and more continuous so that when we find ourselves in circumstances, we will be able to communicate to God like we always have before. If you desire to know what is at the center of a person's heart, all you've got to do is look at their prayer life. You really want to know what a person's desire is in their life, all you've got to do is open the journal of their prayers. This is why in the Bible, the most important character in Scripture, Jesus Christ, gives us a peek into his prayer life through a series of 25 prayers. I already got y'all. Y'all even know Jesus prayed 25 times. In these series of prayers, Jesus communicates many times over about everyone but himself. Only one time does Jesus pray for himself. That's in the Garden of Gethsemane. But the entirety of the compound, complex book of Jesus' prayers, we see him praying for other people. Jesus' prayers are quite popular. In fact, there's one prayer that he taught all of us. Taught us a very popular prayer called the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and so on and so forth. But understand, there is a prayer that I believe many of us are not quite familiar with. That is the passage found John 17 and 11. Christ at this moment is at the end of his ministry. He's already performed a few miracles. He's already done some things to show the people that he is the Son of God. He has already positioned himself and prepared those whom he has called that we know to be disciples to carry on the ministry beyond his sacrifice on the cross. Yet Jesus understands that there is still something that is missing. After 3 years of ministry, after 3 years of miracles, after 3 years of prayer, after 3 years of mentorship, after 3 years of disciple making, Jesus realizes that there is still a lack of unity in the church. And so Jesus prays this prayer to God, and he prays this prayer, Lord, let them be one. Let them be one so that they can see, the world can see that we are one. Now, we're going to unpack this particular prayer, and we're going to see why he prayed this prayer. The first point is this, is that he prayed that prayer because of what he saw in the church. Jesus prayed that prayer because he taught a story about a gentleman that's known as the Good Samaritan. And in this parable, the Good Samaritan, Jesus talks about a Levite and a priest. And these are supposed to be the representatives of the church. These are supposed to be the people that are the standard for what it means to be right, what it means to be moral, what it means to be good, and what it means to be holy. Yet Jesus witnesses and teaches about the disunity in the church. And here he teaches about the disunity of church leaders from what they are supposed to be doing. It's too many times in the church, people are doing what they want to do and not what God called them to do. He prayed that prayer because of what he saw in the church, because of a lame man by the pool of Bethesda. He laid there year after year after year after year, knowing that one day out of the year, the water was to be troubled. Knowing that he was lame, he was surrounded by church people that loved the Lord just as much as he did. Although he was surrounded by church people, when the water was troubled, no one helped this lame man into the pool. Jesus prayed this prayer because he saw the church in the synoptic gospels prefer to let someone die rather than perform a miracle on the Sabbath. Time after time, they attempted to stone him because of the work he did on the Sabbath. It's a sad state of affairs that a church will take a day off from doing the work of the Lord. It's a sad state of affairs that the church will make a decision that doing something else other than feeding the hungry and clothing the naked is what they desire to do. He looked back at Exodus. And he remembered that the people that his father called to be his special group designed a golden image and separated themselves from their assignment that God had for them. In other words, Jesus is praying this prayer of unity because he knows the church has a history of not doing what it's supposed to do. We can go back to the original church by the name of Adam and Eve. And in the original church known as the Temple of Eden, there was disunity because they decided to separate themselves from the assignment that God gave them because they were more intent on becoming gods themselves than worshiping and serving the God that created them. And we find it unusual when there's issues in the church when all you got to do is go to Sunday school and see that it's in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. So if there's disunity in Scripture, of course, at the branch and every other church in the world, there will be issues. He prayed this prayer because of what he saw in the church. He saw people breaking the hearts of others. He saw that there were issues that arose and folks looked the other way. He saw that there were things that rose up inside of the body of Christ, yet people desired to do their own thing. But let's move to the second point is this. He prayed that prayer because of what he knew would be in the church. See, Jesus prayed a prayer, it reached both ways. Understand in Scripture, whenever Jesus is speaking, it's pointing back to Genesis and is reaching forward into Revelation. So we look in what Jesus is pointing to in 1 Corinthians, where Paul writes this letter to the church about unity. Why is Paul writing a letter to the church about unity? Because Jesus made it clear in the scriptures that there would be a problem with the church being united. And the issue with the church being united is that the church has no witness if all it does is fight itself. And Pastor Pickens, we are frustrated when the world does not listen to our witness. We're frustrated when the world doesn't want to turn to the church for the answer. But let me be the advocate for the world on this Sunday 3 o'clock service. The church has done a poor job of representing the gospel because all we do is spend time bickering who's going to be the president of the parade of salads and who's going to be over the program committee instead of doing the work of the Lord. And we get mad because our churches will not fill up. But all you've got to do is look in the mirror and see what the true problem is. See, when Jesus prayed this prayer, he knew that young preachers would go against older preachers. See, when Jesus prayed this prayer, he knew that older women would spend more time talking about rather than teach the younger women. Child, did you see what she had on? And she had the nerve to sit on the front row. Child, you know she ain't about nothing. But I stopped by to let you know, if you stop talking about people and start ministering to people, you might see God do something in this ministry you've never seen before. See, Jesus prayed this prayer because he knew that people would bicker over control of church finances. He knew that there would be arguments over bank accounts. He knew that there would be bickering behind checkbooks. He knew that there would be people that would go back and forth because I'm not in your tribe and you, yo, y'all don't do tribes around here. That must be an old school thing. And he knew that people would argue over and over on who would sit on the third row, fifth seat from the left because that's my seat. I want you to understand, you don't have a seat. The only seat you have is the mansion that God has prepared for you. And you might miss that if you keep on acting the way you act. We're talking about the forgotten prayer, the forgotten prayer. See, he prayed this prayer because he understood that the church would be filled with people that want more from God than they're willing to give to God. Not here, somewhere else. He knew that the church would be filled with people that asked God to open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. Oh God, that I don't have room to receive it. But he knew that these same people, when it came time for tithes and offering, would tip God, yet they want God to give them the overflow. Jesus reaches back into the historical texts and tablets and scrolls of Genesis, and he also reaches forward into the eschatological book of Revelation, and he helps us understand that unity will be a struggle until he returns. Come on. But the reason why we can't overcome it, Pastor, is because we're in denial that it exists. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to pray for it. We don't want to minister to it. We don't want to deal with it. We don't want to upset nobody. We don't want to frustrate anybody or ruffle anyone's feathers. I stopped by to let you know that the entire Bible is an offense to disunity. That's why Jesus prayed the prayer for unity. And if you got a problem with it, you might as well go on ahead and tiptoe out, because I'm about to start preaching in about the next 5 minutes, because God has sent me to bring a message of unity to Pilgrim Branch. He prays this prayer. He prays this prayer because of what he saw in the church. He saw the church be rude. He saw the church be ugly. We're talking about during the days of Scripture. He saw the church deny people access. He saw the church push people away. He saw the church judge people before they ever came to know Christ. And he also saw that the church would do the exact same thing after he ascended into heaven. Yet Jesus prays this prayer. Now we understand that the Word of God is living. We understand that the Word of God is breathing. We understand that the Word of God never stops working. And so Jesus prays this prayer because of what he saw in the church. He prays this prayer also because of what he knew would be in the church. He knew that folks would be more concerned with their Easter suit than people understanding the Easter story. He knew that people would be more concerned with buying their children gifts for Christmas than understanding the Christmas story. He understood that Western civilization would romanticize us to compartmentalize our Christian walk to Sunday mornings and no other day during the week, because how dare we go to work and pray for anybody on our job? If we're going to be the church, we might as well be. Wish I had some Bible readers in here. And so he prayed this prayer because of what he saw in the church. He saw the church be so rigid to people. Jesus was challenged time and time again by the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the deacons and the pastors and the leaders of the body of believers. And they challenged him because what he did was unorthodox to what they believed. They didn't look at the results. They were looking at the method. They weren't looking at the results. They were saying, this not how we ever did it, and that's not how we do it. And Jesus said, I don't care how you've done it. I am Jesus Christ. Look at the results. Don't look at the method in which I'm doing it. And the church today is broken because instead of focusing on results, we're focusing on how it's done, because tradition has taken control of the body of Christ, and we're more concerned with preserving tradition than we are pushing the message of Jesus Christ. He prayed this prayer because of what he knew would be in the church. He knew that people would sue each other in the church. Jesus knew that church folk would take each other to court. Take each other to court, get real ugly, get real nasty about it. And these people today got the Bible choir. Now the Bible tells us not to take our church issues into the world's court, yet we do it anyway. And then we brag about it. I'm going to get my lawyer. Well, shame on you. Who are you to go and grab a lawyer when the Bible tells you not to? So he understood that there would be disunity in the church. He knew that there was disunity in the original church. He knew that there would be disunity in the church moving forward, the New Testament church, the church of Acts. But we're about to have some church. Understand this, the third reason why Jesus prayed this prayer is the most important reason of all. I understand that I shared with you that he prayed this prayer because of what he saw. I understand I shared with you that he prayed this prayer because of what he knew would exist today. But although that might be somewhat depressing, that might be somewhat disheartening, that might make you feel negative, but I've got good news, Pilgrim Branch. I've got good news that's going to help you get beyond this sad message that the preacher is preaching. I've got good news that's going to help you get beyond the negative information that I've just shared with you. Evidently, y'all don't want the good news, because I keep telling you, I got good news, but you're sitting there like I'm about to talk about your mama. But let me tell you, I got good news, Pilgrim Branch. The reason why Jesus prayed this prayer, the reason why he got down on his knees, and the reason why he opened his mouth, The reason why he prayed to his heavenly Father was not just because he had a purpose, but it was to show us that even Jesus needed to pray. Some of us in the house today have found ourselves in a situation where you need to go back to your knees and let God know that you've got a request. You need to understand that some of you have not been on your knees in quite some time. Now, yet you're wondering why your life is where it is. The reason why I titled this message, The Forgotten Prayer, because I understood as a child that prayer changes. And when I became a man, I really knew that prayer changes. But let me tell you the reason why Jesus prayed this prayer. The reason why Jesus prayed this prayer is because he knew the power of the church. See, although there would be disunity in the church, although there would be issues in the church, the Bible says, up on this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Even though there might be problems, even though there might be issues in the church, I need you to understand that there is a promise that has been spoken over the church, and it doesn't matter what comes in it, God is going to make sure that the church comes out all right. You ought to get excited in this place. Because what the devil meant for evil, God will use it for the good of the church. Let me help you understand something. Jesus prayed this prayer because he understood that where two or three are gathered, God is in the midst. Jesus prayed this prayer because he understood. What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, he's more. I wish I had a church today. He's more. Does anybody know he's more? Does anybody know he's more? More than your heartache. More than your heartbreak. More than your struggles. More than the issues. More than the trials. If you know that he's more, why don't you get up in this place and let the devil know, you hit me with your best shot, but I've got more down inside of me, because he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. If you believe it, shout a yeah, shout a yeah, shout a yeah. Somebody ought to give God glory. Oh, but I'm not done yet. He prayed this prayer because he knew that back in the old church, he got a man that he anointed to do a great work by the name of Moses. And Moses, we understood, he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. But once he did that, he wrote a book. He wrote five books that were memoirs of his ministry. And in that fifth book, by the name of Deuteronomy, there's something that Jesus put Moses to say. He said, how could one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 unless the rock has sold them and the Lord surrendered them? Preacher, what are you saying? The two or three that Matthew was talking about is empowered by the Holy Ghost. When you begin to get God in the middle of what
you do, the forgotten prayer becomes the living prayer, and the living prayer becomes the living gospel, and the living gospel begins to activate the powerful Holy Ghost in your life. Shout, yeah. We're not unified yet. You're not unified yet. You're not unified yet. I still see the room divided. You need to figure out what you're gonna do, because the Bible tells us that Jesus prayed this prayer, and after he prayed this prayer, he went to a hill called Golgotha, and they hung him high. They stretched him wide. He hung his head, and for you and for me, he died. That's not where the story ends. 3 days later, he rose again. And I wish I had a church that understood what it means to love the Lord with all your heart. But the disciples got nervous, Pastor. They got worried. They got afraid. I wish the choir would get with the preacher. They got afraid. And they said, Lord, if you leave us, what are we gonna do? And Jesus looked the disciples in their eye, and he told them, I'm going to give you a comforter. Occupy until I come. Say yeah. Say yeah. Y'all not unified yet. Let me preach a little longer, Jermaine. And so Jesus, when he went into heaven, he had to go. Somebody say he had to go. Because the final act, the magnus opus of the ministry of Jesus, did not happen until after he went into heaven. 50 days later was the day of Pentecost. Y'all still not united. Let me preach a little bit longer. The Bible says in the book of Acts, there was only one way that the Holy Ghost would fall in the room. Y'all still not united. Let me preach a little longer. The Bible says there's only one way for the Holy Ghost to fall in the room. Y'all still not united. Let me preach a little longer. The Bible says it's only one way for the Holy Ghost to fill the room. Y'all still not united. Let me preach a little longer. The Bible says, let me give you the scripture. Maybe that'll help you. When they were all in one room, on one accord, that's when the Holy Ghost fell. I got a question for the branch. Can we please get on one accord? Can we please get up in this place? If you don't want the Holy Ghost, get out now. But for me and my house, we're ready. Slap your neighbor and ask them if they're ready. We're ready for the Holy Ghost to show up and show out. The disciples were worried about the Lord leaving them behind. But on the day of Pentecost, we got the attaché. He may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. If you know it, shout yeah. If you know it, that God will show up when you need him the most. Give him glory. Give him glory. Give him glory. We're still not united. I guess I'll preach a little longer. If you're on your row, I need a mascot on every row to look down your row and say, you don't know like I know. You've not cried like I've cried. You haven't hurt like I've hurt. You haven't been lied on like I've been lied on. You haven't been talked about like I've been talked about. But because I've got a praise, I don't look like what I've been through. That's why I can show you better than I can tell you what the Lord has done for me. If the Lord has made a way out of no way, shout yeah, shout yeah, shout yeah, shout yeah. I know he's all right. He's all right in the morning. He's all right in the noonday. He's all right at midnight. He's all right every day, every hour. If you believe it, lift those hands and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, for the King of glory, for the King of glory, for the King of glory, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. He's about to come into your situation. If you believe it, lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, for the King of your finances, for the King of your illness, for the King of your heartbreak shall come in. If you believe it, shout yeah, 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 yeah. Almost there. I'm going to preach just a little bit longer. I dare you to think of the goodness of Jesus. The goodness of Jesus. The goodness of Jesus and all he's done. When I think of God and how he set me free. When I think of God and how he opened doors. When I think of God and how he made a way. No prayer is forgotten. Give your neighbor a high five and tell him, neighbor, congratulations. You just touched a miracle. Because the devil, I told you the devil tried to kill me, but God, when I gave up on myself, when I gave up on everybody, God made a way out of no way. Get in the aisle and shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Anybody in the house been delivered from the hand of the enemy? Say yeah. You said you've been delivered. If you've been delivered, you're just getting started. When praises go up, praises go up, when praises go up, when praises go up, my miracle, my breakthrough, my anointing comes down. Grab your neighbor by the hand and tell him, neighbor, we're not united yet. I said, grab your neighbor by the hand and tell him, neighbor, about 15 minutes ago, the preacher said, when two or three touch and agree, God is in the midst. I need you to agree with me that God is able to do the exceeding and the abundantly above all I could ask or think of him to do. If you believe with me, I'll believe with you. And together, we're going to go to bed tonight better than we woke up this morning. Grab your neighbor. Grab your neighbor. Grab your neighbor. And let your neighbor know, today is the best day of our lives. It's hot outside, but God is about to light a fire inside of you. Shout yeah. Shout yeah. Shout yeah. Give it up, give it up, give it up. Give him a today is family and friends, but the Holy Ghost just told me that this is a one-day revival, and the water is troubled. Whatever you need, whatever you've been praying for, it's not forgotten. Whatever you've been crying for, it's not forgotten. Whatever you've been hoping for, it's not forgotten. God told me to tell you, I see you, and you look much better, because the door is about to open. As long as you praise me like it's all already done. Shout it out. It's already done. It's already done. It's already done. It's already done. It's five people in here that still don't believe it's already done. But there's three people in here that believe it's already done. And God said, I'll use those three to infect the body so that the body understands that God is able. Put your hands together in this place. Above all things, as we gathered for this day of family and friends, it's
It's already done in this place. 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 God is ready to remind us that there is no forgotten prayer. And the unity of the church, though it may be challenged, the power is in the promise that upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell, though they may try, though they may whisper, Pastor, though they may talk noise, though they may file papers, the gates of hell shall not prevail against her. And if you are part of her, then they won't prevail against you either. Celebrate yourself in this place. Celebrate yourself in this place. You can do better than that. Celebrate yourself. Because God has not forgotten you.
Can we say amen? Does anybody believe that the Lord has spoken through Pastor Scott? God is mighty good.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huffsmith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."